T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Want to jump on the line just to finish up our discussion from the last hour. Texter writes that he, too, had a son with a learning disability, and he said, we did our part. He said that they always expected their, you know, they still set high standards for their son. They didn't set, you know, make excuses for him because he had a learning disability. He said he had a learning disability. We did our part. We took him to one of Greenville's private learning centers. He graduated with honors in music and education at his high school. He's now 29 and a millionaire. He owns his own furniture business and even makes the furniture for HGTV. My wife has passed, but we are proud parents, and he thanks me every day for having him do his best.
Wonderful story.
Yeah, I love stories like that. I cannot believe I'm getting flack on the text line for expecting children with learning disabilities to exceed the, you know, the expectations. That's ridiculous to me. But anyway.
Well, I mean, obviously that there are some degree of learning difficulties.
Sure.
That where, you know, major success is going to be very difficult. But there are others that are simply, you know, obstacles that you can go over, around, or under.
Yeah.
And you know, because it's such a varied thing when you say a learning disability, it's the degree to which it impacts that student and that child is different in every case.
Absolutely. But you still, I think, need to have really high expectations for all children, no matter what their abilities
absolutely.
Are.
I couldn't agree more. And I think you're absolutely right. Part of the problem I think we have in this country is too many times we make excuses for why things didn't turn out the way we wanted them to. And there are times, yes, when there may be outside circumstances, but, you know, you have unlimited opportunities in this country.
You do.
Everyone. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your religion. It doesn't matter. You have unlimited opportunity. Now, that does not mean that you will succeed to the same degree that everybody else will, because everyone else has different abilities. But everyone has equal opportunity under the law in this country. And when those opportunities are denied, then the law should step in and make sure that it's okay. But that does not mean that you can guarantee the same outcome for every individual. It is not possible.
No. No, and I completely agree with you on that, Lee. Let's see what Ralph thinks. Hey, Ralph.
Good morning, Tara. How are you?
Good.
All right. My son has Asperger's, and we knew he was brilliant. His first sentence was, you got mail. He's clicking on AOL, trying to go online. You know, you go from daddy, mommy, no, to you got mail. So we know the intelligence was there. So I want to give a plug to Brain Balance right now. They are the most dynamic place. Asperger's is basically functional autism. They taught the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain to communicate. Now we have a complete child. He went from being told how to do his lesson to doing it by himself and straight A's in college.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and he told us, he said, guys, thank you for taking me there. Because he said, I was worried about me. Because he knew he wanted to make it in life. And to take that kind of confidence away from someone is horrible. Everybody wants to be successful. Don't give them an out, because society wants to give you an out. Everybody wants to be taken care of. Everybody wants subsidies. Get out and work for it.
Amen to that.
But, you know, I'm wrong for that. You know, I'm black and I like to work. I'm a Christian first. I happen to have black skin, but I like to work. If I don't make it, it's Ralph's fault. It's not because of society and all the rest of that hugglaboo. I don't make it. It's Ralph's fault. I know that. And my mom was an educator, and she told us, I will not market education and have dumb kids.
Good for her.
Yeah. And another thing, you're talking about parents holding their kids accountable. Years ago, one of the top cardiologists in the nation and top attorney, they grew up in Harlem. Their mom checked their work after working two jobs every day while she cooked. They knew their work had to be done correct. When they finished college, guess what she told them? I can't read.
Whoa.
They say, well, Mom, you checked that work. She said, yeah, you knew I was going to check your work, so you knew to do it correctly. All kids want to know is that your interest, you take interest in them. She That's eventually awesome. Went back to college, got a degree in computer science and everything, but all she did was showed interest, and those kids knew it better be right. So parents, show interest in your kids.
Amen to that, Ralph. And you know what? Your son, I have a special place in my heart for kids who have this. I had, you know, boys who are nonverbal till four. I know what the struggle is like. And I just want you to know my best girlfriend growing up married a guy who was autistic. Both of them just wonderful Christian people. And that guy ended up getting a PhD from Duke. And a whole bunch of mathematical stuff, long story, lives in a huge house now, is wildly successful, sits around and does physics problems for fun. So those kids are really special and have a lot of gifts. And, you know, don't let it keep him from doing anything he wants to do, including, you know, marrying the girl of his dreams.
Well, he's majoring in interactive game design. He's doing well. He's writing his stories, creating art. Even doing his own music for it. He wants to do the whole thing. And I'm trying to tell him, Caleb, you don't have to be the smartest guy. Just hire smart people to work
right.
for you.
Right. Exactly.
So thanks, Tara. You have a great day. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you too, Ralph. Thank you for your phone call. That was really inspirational.
Ralph has got that figured out.
He does.
I've nailed it in every bit of that.
He absolutely does. Texter writes, if you don't set expectations high, regardless, the child won't be able to succeed.
Well, and another point that Ralph made is, and I am firmly convinced this is the biggest thing that we could do in education in this state and in this nation is get every parent involved in their child's education. That doesn't mean trying to criticize everything that the administration or the school district or the teacher does, but making sure that your student, your child, is engaged, is behaving, is prepared, and is going there to learn and expect excellence. If that is not there in the home, you could spend $1 million a student from here until eternity, and it would make absolutely no difference. It is what that parent set, the standards that are set at home. That doesn't have to be a mom and dad. It can be a single mom. It can be a single father. That can still happen. But it is what those expectations are at home for that child at school that set that child's foundation for learning. It is not necessarily. I mean, obviously, you want to have good schools. You want to have well-paid teachers that are well-educated and have great experience. And you want to have good facilities. Those are great. But it's more important, at least in my experience and what I'm hearing, that you have parents that are involved, that are engaged, and that are expecting excellence from that child so that when they go there to that classroom, they're ready to learn and not be a problem for the other students and the teacher.
And it, yeah, absolutely. You know what? And I've heard this so many times too, Lee, from teachers of my kids. You know, I mean, I tell them if my child acts up, I want to know
yes.
about it. And the teacher will look like a little nervous. And I mean, I had this recently. Well, you know, some parents, when I tell them their kids are acting up, they, you know, basically they take it out on me.
Exactly.
They complain on me.
Right.
My child. How could you dare accuse my child? And I've always assured my kids' teachers that will not happen in my
yes.
house. I want to know if there's a problem. I do. Great, great call from Ralph. Ralph, thank you very much. Coming up in just a second, some good news. Things are changing slowly, but they are changing. This text is so funny because this has happened to me. Texter writes, hey, Tara, when my daughter was in second grade, her first report card was all A's and one B in math. I met with her teacher to discuss how she got the B. The teacher seemed shocked I wasn't ecstatic about her B. But I knew she could do better. It was the last B she ever made, all A's since, and now a sophomore in high school with a 4.8 GPA, set the bar high. They can do it. Yeah, I've had that before, too. I've contacted a teacher when my child had, you know, was right between an A and a B, like, you know, what can we do to bring this up, you know, to an A? And I contacted the teacher because my child did what is their job, which is if you're not getting an A, then you need to get me involved. I'll help you study. We'll do whatever it takes. But it's your responsibility to be on top of what your grades are. And on top of whether you need help. And the reason that I demand this is not because I think, all A's are the way to go forward in life. They're the only way forward. There's a lot of great paths forward that don't involve getting great grades. But what I want to teach them is, hey, listen, if you're having a problem, you need to seek out help for it before it becomes a bigger problem. Right now, it might be you're getting a B in math. Eventually, it could be something at work that, you know, you're falling down on. You need to figure out how to do it better. And those consequences, when you don't get stuff right at work, bleed right over in your private life real quick, really quickly. Before you know it, now you can't, you've lost your job, can't pay you for your car. Now your car has been repoed. You've got the repo on your credit, can't buy a new car. Need a new car to get to work. Now you can't get a job. And so I use grades as a proxy to teach my kids. I demand straight A's. And you know what's funny? Even my husband came from a family with a mom who struggled just to put food on the table. She was a single mom because his dad had died. And that demand was not there. And so to him, it's been kind of an adjustment to get used to that, a standard that high. You know, and he said to me before, well, you know, it's okay if they get B's occasionally. And I said, well, you know, no, it's not. Because if I expect B's, I'm going to get C's. I have to aim for the top in the hopes of getting A's and B's. And again, this is not because I think academics is the only way forward. I think increasingly it's not, unless you want to go into the sciences. But you can use academics to teach children about life. And that's what I do. That if you're messing up at school, I'm going to create real-world consequences for you. But Mom, I just got a B. I don't care. If you got a B, then that means that you need more time to study, and I'm going to take your computer. It's gone. Bye-bye. But I only got a B. All my friends get Bs. I don't care. I'm not their mom. There was a question on here. I expect straight A's from my son, and he still brings home C's. I don't have any clue how to motivate him. Take the electronics. Gone. Boom. You would be shocked. You would be shocked. Even my child who has a learning disability, I took his computer. I just felt like he wasn't giving me the motivation that I needed. 2 weeks later, I get an interview. I get a phone call from his teacher. Wow, what are you doing at home? His attitude has improved. Oh, I'm sure it has. He's sitting there bored out of his mind. Take it all. Find what they like and take it. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Everything they like is a privilege. Their later bedtime, privilege. You know, I have gone with early bedtimes. Well, obviously you need more sleep. You're not doing well in school. Early bedtime. Well, Mom, it's still late out. I'm bored. Here's a book. Read. It won't break them. They'll be okay. Hey, speaking of breaking stuff, and like in a good way, did you see this? We just broke the Third Circuit. Yeah. Was under liberal control? You know how Trump is expected to get, especially if he gets the 8 years, more judicial appointments than Bush or Obama did combined, because so many of these seats are up? We just flipped the Third Circuit, U.S. Court of Appeals. It was majority liberal. Now it is majority Trump appointed. Look, folks, these are small gains, small gains, small gains, small gains. But when you think of where we would be if Hillary won, every day in this country is a miracle. I mean, we are seeing average wage gains per year of 3.5%. Economists would have said that, and they did say that. It would have been impossible 5 years ago, 7 years ago. Yet we're doing it. Manufacturing jobs, supposed to be impossible, not coming back. We're doing it. I mean, I didn't have any more expectations for this presidency other than stopping Obama trade, which was a disaster. It was a deal almost identical to the European Union deal that the English are trying to get out of right now with Brexit. And maybe getting a few Supreme Court justices. That's all the hope I had for this presidency. My expectations have been wildly exceeded in these 2 years. There's so much every day to be excited for. And when you put the weight of it all together, it really is quite something to marvel at. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. It makes you almost wonder, what could we do if we actually tried? I mean, like all of us together. We could win. We could win for a generation. Texter writes, Terry, you have every right to parent any way you want as long as it's lawful. You don't owe anyone an explanation. Okay, meanwhile, Gavin Newsom, did you see this? California governor? Just signed an executive order halting the death penalty in California, sparing the lives of precious child murderers and serial killers. Did you see the press conference? I'm not even going to play the audio. It'll make you sick. He said he just couldn't sleep at night. His conscience was bothering him. He just couldn't sleep at night if the 737 convicted child murderers, serial killers, rapists, and others who are currently on death row face the ultimate judgment. Governor Newsom, let me help you. Think of it as a full-term abortion. No, you're saying it looks like a full-term abortion. His mom was emotionally distressed by the string of murders, and so she wants to use her emotional right to have a full-term abortion. And it'll be fine. These people who celebrate the execution of a full-term, perfectly healthy child at 9 months on the day of delivery will keep the kid comfortable, the governor said. Governor of Virginia will keep the kid comfortable till the parents decide if they want to kill it. You mean after it's been born, sir? Yeah, then. Zero key. That does not keep them up at night. But executing perfectly good serial killers, child rapists, child murderers is a problem, apparently. It is a bridge too far. The way these people think is just... Anyway, here's who here's who will benefit from this. Larry Bittaker, otherwise known as the Toolbox Killer. He was convicted of raping and killing five teen girls in 1979 after he tortured them with pliers and screwdrivers. He will not be subject to a full-term abortion, although he should be. Scott Peterson cut his baby from his wife's body. They're both dead. That was back in 2002. He's going to get to live a little longer. No full-term abortion for him. Golly, the way these people's minds work. It's just, As predicted by me, and here we go. We're seeing this on college campuses. Yeah, remember all the safe spaces for speech? Yeah, the safe space for speech, that's where if you want to say something conservative, you have to, like, sign up beforehand and get permission from the faculty and all of that kind of stuff, and then they'll let you say it, like, in the back parking lot somewhere where nobody is. And they've got these all over the place. I forecast that eventually safe spaces from speech, in other words, we're going to put, or for speech, where we would put all the speech we don't like into a safe space where nobody has to hear it, would morph into safe spaces where you were protected from people whose very existence is offensive. And here we go. San Diego State University is now offering safe space for racial hearing. Racial healing. Well, what is a safe space for racial healing? That's a place where white people can't go. But don't they pay for the whole upkeep of the whole campus? Yeah. Special racial healing safe spaces. Where you can be protected from having to see or hear people whose very existence, simply by their skin color, is offensive to you. What are they doing with it? They are working toward, and you see this day in and day out on college campuses, a day when the very existence of people with the wrong skin color or the wrong gender is offensive. This is why we've seen course after course and space after space in college campuses. No white men, no white men here. Courses on what's wrong with white men, based purely on race. This is moving from the idea of, hey, let's marginalize speech to, hey, let's marginalize people. And the idea that people, merely by their existence, can be offensive. That people are treated like speech, they want to outlaw both. They want to outlaw both. Meanwhile, did you see this? This is the new hot hip thing with the left. A Georgia legislator has introduced the Testicular Bill of Rights. This makes no sense. Representative Darshan Kendrick, she's a Democrat, of course, has introduced a package of bills that would require men to obtain permission from their partners to get a prescription for erectile dysfunction medicine, ban vasectomies, and punish doctors who perform them, require men to pay child support beginning 6 weeks after a woman becomes pregnant, and make sex without a condom an aggravated criminal assault crime. Another bill would create a 24-hour waiting period for men who want to buy pornography or sex toys. Kendrick says the bills are a response to the legislation before the Georgia House of Representatives that would ban abortions after 6 weeks when a fetal heartbeat is detectable. She says it's not fair. They're trying to take women's reproductive rights, so they're going to take men's away. I'm sorry. I was unaware that men had reproductive rights. No, no, no. Women have so-called reproductive rights. But do men have them? Since when? It's her choice if she has the baby. He has no say. It's his baby too, right? Isn't that why he's got to pay? He has no choice. What if he begs her to have it? Hers is the final decision. What if he says, please just have it. I'll never hold you financially responsible. I'll raise the baby. Her decision. Does that sound like reproductive rights to you? Men have none. Zero. We choose whether we'll have their children, when we'll have their children, whether they have to pay for those children, or whether we'll just abort them. I mean, the idea that men have all these reproductive rights and they're trying to women don't, men are trying to take them away. What? What reproductive right do men have that women don't? We have everything. We have all of it. It's all stacked for us. That's the fallacy of this. Men got nothing. They have absolutely nothing. I read a really heartbreaking Facebook post from a guy a couple weeks ago whose son was aborted by his girlfriend because his girlfriend's mother decided that's what they should do. And the powerlessness that he felt and just the sense of hopelessness. Maybe I should have done more. Maybe I should have somehow stopped her. Maybe I should have, you know, and my heart broke for him. And I was like, no, what? You have no reproductive rights. What were you going to do? Aside from trying to talk her out of it, which he did. It's the other way around, not the way the left is making it. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. Meanwhile, you know the only people who have privilege in this country are liberals. There is no white privilege. There's only liberal privilege. Liberal privilege from the laws applying to you. You know how this works. Well, there's illegal immigrant privilege, too. And boy, did this guy have some before he stalked a woman, stabbed her to death. Did you hear about this? Carlos Eduardo Arevalo Carranza, 24, stalked Bambi Larson's neighborhood before beating and stabbing her to death in her home. They could have stopped him 6 times. 6 ICE detainers on this guy. But it's California, so they ignore that kind of thing. And they let him out. After crime, after crime, after crime. But they put, the federal government put 2 additional detainers on the guy because he is a self-admitted gang member and they wanted to question him about gang activity. They wouldn't even hold him for that. And out the door he went. Bye-bye. Out the door he went. Do you remember when Trump said this? And he was vilified. It's one of the 2 things he said that the media uses to accuse him of racism. I'm going to play it again. It's from 2015 when he announced, when he called Mexican illegal immigrants coming over the border murderers and rapists. Tell me how this is wrong, given what we've just seen here. Again, this is only the latest illegal immigrant murder. Thank God he didn't kill 2 or 3. That's what they've been doing lately.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting. And it only makes common sense. They're sending us not the right people. It's coming from more than Mexico. It's coming from all over South and Latin America, and it's coming probably from the Middle East. But we don't know, because we have protection, and we have no competence. We don't know what's happening. And it's got to stop. And it's got to stop fast.
Meanwhile, we're watching sex offenders, murderers, and rapists, illegal immigrants stream over the border. And that is exhibit A for why Trump's racist. Wonder if Bambi Larson would have thought Trump was racist as she was being stabbed to death by a guy. 8 detainers on this guy. We could have stabbed him 8 times. They chose not to. Unbelievable. It's illegal immigrant privilege. Laws apply to us, not them. Is the left beginning to look at the FBI as sort of a party organ? Their own personal police, if you will? That's how the intelligence agencies in Russia function. As the long arm of the party. It's how they function in China. And in Cuba. Does the Democrat Party increasingly look at the FBI that way? We saw during the whole Christine blah blah Ford thing, they were very eager to bring in the FBI because they know inherently it's a politicized agency and they can expect a politicized investigation. Well, it turns out the left tried to do this with Jussie Smollett. And not just anybody on the left. First Lady Michelle Obama's former chief of staff, Tina Chen. After the Jussie Smollett thing broke and it became clear that the Chicago PD was, one, you know, doing investigating, but two, honestly investigating, which is the kind of investigation they don't like. Tina Chen, former chief of staff, First Lady Michelle Obama, emailed state attorney Kimberly Fox. This is Illinois state attorney, and said, hey, listen, we got a, this is Michelle Obama's former chief of staff. We got concerns about the investigation. It might not be fair. And demanded it be turned over to the FBI. Well, anyway, all the correspondence now has been made public. This is Fox, the attorney general, spoke to Superintendent Johnson. I convinced him to reach out to the FBI to ask that they take over the investigation. OMG, this would be a huge victory. That same day, listen to this, Fox texted with one of Smollett's relatives, who Michelle Obama, Michelle Obama's chief of staff, Tina Chen, put the attorney general, state attorney general Kimberly Fox of Illinois, in contact with Smollett's relatives. And they're like, that's not going to be fair. It's not right. So she's texting back and forth to the relative of Jussie Smollett. I'll see what I can do. See what I can help, how I can help you. Say, maybe we could just get the FBI looking at this and none of the local PD. Can't control them. She didn't say that, but it's what she meant. So here's the attorney general of Illinois, Fox, spoke to the superintendent earlier talking about the police. It's basically the police chief. He made the ask, try to figure out logistics. I'll keep you posted. She's going back and forth with Smollett's family. The family member texts back, OMG, this would be a huge victory. Fox texts back, I made no guarantees, but I'm trying. Okay, this is how it works if you have liberal privilege and you've committed a fake hate crime. Your family gets to go back and forth with the state attorney general to try to get you an FBI investigation, knowing it's a politicized agency and they'll go easier on you. Maybe find the conclusions you would want. Wow, I mean, wouldn't it be great? I would love to just be able to call up the attorney general of this state and say, hey, can you do anything to get the heat off me? I'm in trouble. Yeah, these Chicago police officers they're not just, you know, accepting the narrative and ignoring the facts. They're asking real questions. Can you get this stopped? Yeah, sure. I'll get in touch with Michelle Obama's chief of staff. I'll see if I can't get the FBI to take this thing so we can get the heat off you. This is how it works if you're on the left. Law enforcement officers, the top cop in Illinois, the attorney general, will help you. We'll help you. They'll help make sure an agency that doesn't always ask a lot of questions gets the investigation. They'll make sure an agency that's heavily politicized gets the investigations, gets the investigation. Well, it turns out the FBI was called in, but the police chief of Chicago insisted on retaining control of the investigation, too. And that's where everything went wrong. But this is how it works, folks. That's liberal privilege right there. White people don't have privilege like this. Unless they're liberal. They don't. Nobody in our society has privilege like this. You just call up the attorney general. Can you imagine doing this? Yo, Alan Wilson. Yeah, I got some trouble here, some criminal trouble. Could you get me an investigation by a better body that might be more sympathetic to me and not ask so many questions? Sure, why not? Me and him be in prison. But that's how you got liberal privilege. That's how it works. You get Michelle Obama involved, get her chief of staff involved. They try to get the FBI involved so no real questions are asked. Folks, tell me what is the difference between this and how the intel agencies of China and Cuba and Russia function, because I can't find one. And their political classes. And in those countries, the intel agencies serve the party first. They are not national entities. They are on paper. They are on paper. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. That must be nice to have that kind of power. Texter writes, sorry, what does it say? Sorry, but if he's not married to her when he knocks her up, he should have no say in baby raising? What? Abortion is wrong, especially late term, but he shouldn't have any say. You're telling me a woman has a baby and a man should pay the child support but not have any say in raising the child? Where are you from, Stone Age? Our courts don't function that way. Anyway, texter writes, true example that some people get a position that don't deserve it. The law is supposed to be fair across the board. So, no, the whole thing with Jussie Smollett was, oh, he's a black man. Look, they tried to lynch him. He's discriminated against, put upon. Never get fair treatment in our society. Folks, liberals, black or otherwise, are the only ones in our society who don't have to pay by the rules. Everybody else does.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.